Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Portions of the day's programming are reproduced by means of electrical transcriptions or tape recording.
Hello, Chicago!
You should sit. This is bad.
New day is on the horizon!
WGN, Pete McMurray, Jane Monzuris. You can tell that we haven't seen each other in a while because there's always that, I don't know if it's a grace period.
What do you mean?
There's like a warming up period. You know when your spouse goes away? You're my radio wife. So when your spouse goes away for a while.
You're like not used to them?
Yeah.
You haven't clicked back together
right.
yet?
Yes. We're almost there.
You think
but
so?
But we're breaking equipment in the studio. I mean,
we're nervous around each other.
We're like 70-year-old people. Microphone work.
But I
What's
feel
going
like
on here?
When we see each other after we haven't seen each other for a long time, we have a lot to talk about. So it's like almost like vomit of words coming out of our mouth, like nonstop talking and nothing makes sense.
John Williams on vacation, and we haven't been on the radio together in a while, so we packed the shows.
Right.
I mean, we have these guests like J.B. Pritzker. I've wanted him in for the longest time, and now here we are in prime time. He's going to come in today at 2:05.
And we've got a full show, too. We've got music coming up from Max Frost.
Max Frost played the United Center last night. He is coming in studio today. He showed up early. He's hanging out in the green room
right
now.
He's a great kid. Guy. Great guy. Did I just show my age?
You did.
Shoot.
You sound, you know.
Like an old lady.
Right, you do.
He's
a great kid.
I saw the show last night. I didn't. I was sleeping.
So Max Frost will be in here at 1:35. Yeah. I worked last night, 11 to 1.
Yeah, how do you feel? And then you worked out this morning.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. I could do every shift on this radio
I
station.
I closed my eyes exactly when you went on the air.
That's so funny.
I like the 11 to 1 shift because I feel like it's dark outside and anything goes.
Mm-hmm.
You never know.
And I always feel like I want to curse at Violetta because when I drove on the Kennedy last night, at 10:30 last night, I was at a dead stop right before Ogden.
That's because of the overnight construction.
Right.
Yeah.
I forgot all about it.
I was coming back from the airport last week at 7, 8 o'clock at night. Late night construction. Took me 2 hours to get home.
Right.
Back downtown. It was awful.
Welcome to Chicago.
Yeah, thanks. Overnight construction.
I have a big task after the show today.
Yeah.
I have to pick up the Mega Millions tickets.
Oh, yes.
I'm going to stop by my very lucky place on Fullerton. It's Melito's Mobile right across from DePaul
at
Fullerton and Seminary.
Nobody ever wins.
I know.
You think you're going to be the guy.
I feel like I need to drive to Roanoke, Illinois.
Yes, or farther.
There's a small little convenience store there that sells the Mega Millions.
I'm going to stop in Carlock, Illinois and swing by in there.
Most popular numbers that get chosen in the Mega Millions.
12?
Nope.
33?
No.
I mean 34? 55?
No.
43?
1, 2, and 28 are the most common numbers drawn in the Mega Millions.
Really?
So if you're going to get your tickets, a lot of people do the instant thing.
So don't get those numbers.
Right.
Yeah.
1,
but if
2,
somebody
28.
Wins, like, let's say multiple people pick the same numbers and multiple people win, then they split that money.
Even though... Hello?
Yeah. We're here.
I hear a little vibration on my head. Can you hear that?
That's your head, Pete.
Did my voice change?
I don't know what's going on.
Okay.
You're all awake. Right. It's fine.
That was a little weird. Even though no one won the other night, I think 8 people won $1 million.
Oh, okay.
They still won $1 million.
That's really great. I got to go play. I'm going to call my sister Maria and make her do it.
Well, I'm buying our tickets after the show today.
Well, you're not buying tickets for me.
Sure I am.
Yeah?
Yes. I was going to make it easier. We're going to give them away on the air tomorrow.
Okay, fine.
Do we do one between the three of us?
Ella, are you in?
I was on a call with a listener, so I missed most of the conversation.
Mega Millions.
You want in? You want to buy tickets with us? Yeah.
I'm in for every single one.
Okay, so, but the chances of us winning are like 323 billion trillion.
302.5 million
okay,
to one.
So I was
Somebody's got to win.
Somebody's
got to
win. I agree.
All of it?
So it's at 900 million right now. Your cash out, let's say 600, you take half of that for taxes, you walk away with 300 million cash.
And you would continue working on the radio or say see you later.
You would the first thing I would do, because I've thought this through and
you
I thought about it
Betty
last
Ann.
Night, I would hire a security firm and I would move out of my house.
Really?
Yeah. Do you know the biggest problems that past winners have?
They spend all their money.
They're miserable. They spend all their money and they're miserable because everybody wants a piece of the pie.
Everybody.
So your friends are going to be calling. They want you to invest in their business. You're in family, your cousins. Who do you give money to?
Well, I think, isn't there an option when they don't disclose the winner's name for a certain amount of time?
In Illinois, I think you have to. I know it's multiple states, but that's part of the whole deal. If you're going to win $900 million, you need to come forward.
Everybody
and say,
wants money.
I won.
And guess whose hand's going to be out first over to you, Pete? Mine. And so, Aleph, right?
If I win the $900 million, do I give you $1 million?
Of course you do. I'm your radio wife. You just said it.
But I'm close to your brother, George. Do I give him some cash?
No, I trickle down.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's it.
He doesn't need it.
I have 11 siblings.
You got to give them all.
And my mother. So that's 12 people in my immediate family.
Fine. You're getting
how much?
$600 million.
$300 million after the cash out.
Okay.
How much do I give each family?
Couple mil.
Remember, my immediate family with nieces and nephews and spouses.
You start an interest-bearing account for each of them.
Oh, I like that.
And I like the finger pointing, too. She's pointing like, I think this is the right thing.
It is, because then you give them a certain amount of money and it'll just keep going up. So and then you don't have to keep giving them money.
My family is 44 people. I'm just talking siblings and nieces and nephews.
All right, don't play already.
Okay? I'm talking myself out of it because it's going to be a hassle.
Why do you have to give everybody money? I'm going with Violetta. You do the interest-bearing account, give everybody a little bit. They get their money. And what about like the little kids, like your siblings' kids and then their kids?
Yeah, I got to cut it off. I just give it to my siblings and they
just,
can give
it
to their family.
Give it to us, Pete. We'll take care of your money.
Well, if you put $1 million in the bank, what is it, 100 grand a year? Or,
in interest?
With the interest?
Right, so you don't even have to
10
use
grand a year?
The million, really, you know, you can live off 100 grand a year.
Right.
Yeah.
Huh.
Boom.
Good luck.
I don't think it's 100 grand a year.
Problem solved.
Carl, you're on WGN. Hi.
Hey, how you doing, Pete Mac? Hope you don't mind. Here are the current totals for the big three. Lotto tonight, 17.75. Mega tomorrow, 970 million.
970.
Yeah. And Powerball for Saturday is at 4:30 right now, Pete. So, good luck to you guys.
Did you get your tickets yet, Carl?
No, but I will.
4:30 is not enough. It's not
too
enough to
minuscule.
Play.
We
thanks,
don't need
Carl.
It.
312-981-7200 is our phone number, also our text line. Also, coming up in a few minutes, we're going to talk to Daryl Hammond from Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, he's in town.
Who is coming to town. Yes. I will stop and get everybody a single ticket, and we'll get single tickets to give away on the air tomorrow. And this is how we'll do it. We'll tell them their numbers, and we'll hold on to their ticket here.
Right, right.
And we'll write their name on their
and
ticket.
And if they win, we know who they are.
Yes.
Make sure you drive to somewhere far away and pick up those tickets.
I don't have time to do that. Right. But you're right. It's always like a convenience store in the middle of nowhere.
So do we know anyone that's driving anywhere that can do the ticket buy for us?
Yeah, but which city do you pick? Like, I drive to Peoria, so Roanoke comes to mind.
Carlock.
Carlock is another one. Pawpaw off 39.
Those are the ones that are winning. And I actually think we're better off if we go to a different state.
Pecatonica, right outside of Rockford.
When is the drawing is tomorrow?
Tomorrow night.
Ah, I'm driving to Des Moines tomorrow.
Des Moines.
Oh.
So I could just, like, you know, every...
I don't want to say that I have trust issues, but...
I wasn't thinking of going in on it.
No, he was
going
to get his own.
Right.
Yeah. We were just giving Steve ideas.
I'm thinking a Piggly Wiggly would sell a winning ticket, too.
Do they sell lottery tickets?
It's Piggly Wiggly. They sell everything.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Except for bacon.
Do supermarkets do that? I don't know if they do.
I thought Piggly Wiggly was a convenience store.
I've just seen the sign. I've never been to a Piggly Wiggly.
Oh, I love a good Piggly Wiggly. I haven't been since the 80s, probably.
Be careful.
Let's all just buy our own tickets.
If you win, you could be miserable.
Yeah, you're not going to be miserable.
970
million.
Smart. Just be smart with your money.
Just be smart.
It's 720 WGN.
This is the sound a doggy makes. Mr. Connery.
Moo.
No.
Well, that's the sound your mother made last night.
720 WGN, Pete and Jane in the Allstate Skyline Studios. Our first guest was on SNL from 95 to 2009. That was him as Sean Connery on Jeopardy.
And I love to laugh. He makes me laugh.
The last time we spoke to him, his book was released. His book is entitled God, If You're Not Up Here, I'm Effed. It's the very funny Daryl Hammond, who will be appearing at Zany's November 1st to 3rd. Daryl, how are you?
Hi, Daryl.
I'm doing pretty good. Thank you for that lavish intro. Nicely done.
Big wind up there.
Now, when you hear the SNL sound bites of you doing Sean Connery or Bill Clinton, do you, is it happy for you, or does it bring back bad memories?
No. There was maybe 2-3 years where I never would look at any clips or listen to any audio. You know, for instance, like you just played of Celebrity Jeopardy. And then one day I did, and I thought, hey, that's not too bad. That's pretty good, you know, because I feel like, you know, most of the stuff I've done wasn't as good as I wanted it to be, but every once in a while you feel like you come closer than others, and this Sean Connery and Celebrity Jeopardy thing, it was pretty funny. That one I came closer to getting right than others.
Well, Dylan, I think we all feel like that when we hear ourselves or see ourselves on TV, we look at ourselves like, oh, my God, we look terrible. We need to step up our game. I think we all feel that way.
Yeah, I know there was an episode. I did an episode of Criminal Minds last year, and I've done, like, some dramatic parts in the past and all that. But, you know, and it went well. You know, the reviews were good. But I saw myself, and I was like, oh, my God, you are so fat. just like, you know, not that it affects, you know, as a character actor, you're doing these character parts, I don't have to be skinny.
Right.
But I thought, you are a slob. Because, you know, I look in the mirror and I dress in black, which is kind of slimming. And I look in the mirror and I go, all right, that's okay. I'm okay. That's good enough. You know, but then you see yourself on camera. Ooh, boy, I definitely need to drop a couple of pounds, I think.
So, Daryl, when you or you're doing Criminal Minds, which is sort of a serious role, do you like the serious or do you prefer the funny?
You know what? There's one coming out that I like the most. One of the best things I've did. Or most enjoyable things on Adult Swim, a show called Dream Corps. I play a guy who had his teeth taken out and put back in. Let's just put it that way. He's come for revenge, and it's all tongue in cheek. It's sort of magical realism. But some of these characters, when they let me do people that I've seen in the past, people that I took notes on when I was tending bar, you know, or riding on the subway, and when they asked me to do these parts, I think, you know, I know someone. This might be right. I did Damages. I did a guy that I used to wait on. It turned out was, you know, quite the hit man, as it were. And I did him.
Well, how do you come up with?
Interesting. Yeah.
How do you come up with your characters? Because I read that you. It's like you visualize your characters as colors. I can't remember the word for that. What's it called?
Yeah. Synesthesia.
Synesthesia. It sounds
synesthesia,
like
synesthesia, yeah.
You visualize
like anesthesia.
Your characters as colors. I visualize words as colors. I was just talking about that.
Yeah, it's the, I don't know. I went to an experimental school for 6 months when I was 10 years old and suddenly was able to do things that I had never been able to do in school because they taught me with colors only. So, you know, that's part of it. Like this past weekend, I did a show for Billy Crystal and Kevin Kline and Annette Bening, and it was for Audible Books. It was a show that Billy had written. And I played three parts, and I went in there in the morning, you know, the first rehearsal, and sat down with Billy, and he adjusted my throat, my voice. You know, he's a genius, that guy. And suddenly those colors started to become, you know, more apparent to me.
Wow.
I don't know why, but you say you do that with words, though, right?
I do it with words. So, like, my last name is Manzura, so I associate M with black. But if someone's last name was Benson, it's blue.
What?
Daryl right. is yellow. I mean, everything has a different color.
Yeah, mine, Bill Clinton, was orange, you know, Dick Cheney was royal blue, Trump was, you know, boudoir red.
Trump, to me, is a burnt orange.
Huh?
Trump, to me, when I see it, it's burnt orange.
That's his face.
I used to say that about Clinton as well. Yeah. Burnt orange is a wonderful color. Yeah.
I'm trying to understand this because I memorize things like numbers with jersey numbers, like Walter Payton, 34, Roland Harper, 35, Mike Hartenstein, 73, Scottie Pippen, 33. It's not the
it's
same
very
thing,
interesting
is it?
Because I don't know if it's, but it is a way that your brain learns quickly, you know?
So it's just
and,
a game.
They're experimental. Like I said, it was an experimental class, and they tried to figure out how each child learned. And I'm sure there were some people in there that, you know, did Hank Aaron, you know, 44, Mickey Mantle, 7,
right.
Roger Maris, 9.
Yeah.
Look at the sports guys, you guys.
Those are
totally different teams. You can tell who's from where.
That's right.
Yeah, I think the number, the color name thing for me just I was never in an experimental class. Maybe I should have been. But I find that fascinating. I was just talking about it off the air with a total group of different people, and the fact that you just brought that up is really interesting. Daryl, you are the king of impersonation. Who is your favorite? And then my follow-up is, what's the most important thing when you're trying to nail an impersonation? Is it body movements or is it voice inflection?
I think, you know, I learned most of everything I did, you know, at SNL when you're on the clock. So you don't have time. So you pick up, you know, one or two hand gestures quick, you know, really fast. And then you get into the voice, and if you're lucky, friends, you know, it'll be similar to something that you've done before. You know, like Al Sharpton. You know, I knew a guy that spoke sort of like Al Sharpton before. You know, like that blueberry pie. You know, when I was a kid, I would come home from school. My mother would make blueberry pie. You know,
right? I think
it was quick.
Well, it's interesting that you say that because I think your Ray Romano and Ted Koppel are a little similar. Would I be right on that?
I never did Ray Romano, but Ted Koppel was very similar to Phil Donahue.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
Is Ted Koppel still alive? Is he still around?
Yes, he's still around. He was, you know, but when I auditioned for Lorne, he had me come in and do every impression I could think of, and I did. Man, I did so many. I was out, and so finally it came down to Filthy Ted Koppel and Donahue and German, and I had Ted Koppel. And this is really embarrassing, but I'll tell you anyway.
I love that. This is great.
I had Ted Koppel saying, "See my tiny, big, and shiny makes you giggle to see it wiggle," right? Which is very close to the trees in Wizard of Oz, you know?
Sure. Yes, absolutely. One of the great things about your Clinton is the lip gesture at the end. And I heard you tell a story about when you were going in for your colonoscopy. And was it true that the doctor asked you to do Clinton, or asked you what would Clinton do at this moment?
Yeah, it's 1,000% true. And she was, the thing about her was she was, I thought, inappropriately attractive for the job. She was extremely attractive. And, you know, they're impaling you with this instrument. And I was quite nervous because I never had anything enter me, let's say. I remember the second it touched me in the area, I confess that I made this sound. I went, like that. And she looked over at me and she went, "Oh, what would Clinton say?"
Oh, no.
I said, I did say this. I said, he would say, "What's a nice girl like you do with her hand in a place like that?" You know? We all had a good laugh there at the anesthesiologist that day.
I'm sure you've met Clinton over the years. Do you remember the first time that you met him?
Yes. The first thing I remember was how close he stands to people when he wants to take them over or overpower them. He was standing so close to me, and I just said, the first thing I said to him was, "I'm not even going to pretend that I don't feel stupid." And he looks at me. like I was one of the most important things that ever happened to him. Like I've never had anyone quite look at me like that.
Yeah.
And he says, but Daryl, you know, I make the headlines, but you know, you look terrific. That's what he said. He said, I think you look terrific. And I was like, wow, I would sleep with you. If you keep talking like that, I would totally have sex with you. And I'm not gay, but I don't think I'd have to be to continue. But it was very, very unnerving. And yet, boy, that guy can charm you.
We had him on the air once, and I felt like he was talking to us like we were the most important people in the world.
Over the phone.
And he couldn't even see us. And I was right. Like, he loves us. One of the other impersonations I love, and I love to hear it, and I don't even know if it's relevant anymore, is Regis Philbin.
You know, I see Regis on the Upper West Side in New York, and you hear that famous voice, and I saw him talking to Tony Danza one time, just having a conversation, and the thing about Regis is he says things twice, and the second time, it sort of upsets him. So he'll say something like, you know, Joey and I went down in a cave in Tijuana that was 1,000 years old. It was 1,000 years old.
That is so true. That is so Regis.
I'm actually going to start doing that myself.
Right.
Say it twice.
Regis.
I'm going to say it twice.
Daryl Hammond at Zanies, November 1st through the 3rd. Go to zanies.com. He's right there on the front page. Daryl, great to talk to you again, and we'll see you when you come to town, okay?
Oh, I hope so. That'd be great.
All right. Thanks, my friend. Take care.
Take care.
The very funny Daryl Hammond. Just
I can
great.
Listen to his impersonations
so
all day.
So funny.
Yeah.
Got some great stories. All right. It's 720 WGN.
Hello. Good morning. How you doing? Waking up, shaking yesterday's blues, yeah. Turn the TV off. Off a bottle and I ain't stopping yet. Baby, it's a brand new day. Ain't no clouds hanging over me. Something doesn't feel the same. The rest of my life gonna start today. Good morning.
720 WGN. He played last night at the United Center opening for 21 Pilots. His new album is called Gold Rush. It is Max Frost. Thanks for coming in, man.
Thanks for having me.
Hi, Max. By the way, that's
Good
Pete's
morning.
Favorite song.
It's
Good
my
morning.
My favorite song right now.
It's All my right. new favorite yes. song.
It's Olive's new favorite song.
It's that Starbucks bagel music, that morning. it's the morning party song. I feel like I'm trying to make the first morning party song.
You did it!
Because every party song is about nighttime partying. And I was like, how do I break the mold here?
Well, it could have a few different meanings, right? Right?
Yeah.
Some people say it's a hangover song. Some people say it's get on and get after it song in the morning.
There's a lot of reasons you could be partying in the morning.
Because you never went to bed.
Being hungover is a great reason.
Right.
But it could be like, hello, sunshine. Good morning.
Good
like,
morning.
I'm super happy today.
Exactly. Rest of my life is going to start today.
Wait, why are Today's we telling him when his song's about?
I'm always curious because I listen to lyrics. I always read the liner notes. I like lyrics. Mm. Where does that come from? I'm intrigued by people that write music because I can't to save my life.
I feel like sometimes it comes from you just are literally saying what you mean, but it also sometimes I feel like comes from a subconscious place where at the moment you're like, well, this is all just kind of nonsense and I'll fix all this later. And then you look back and you go, wow, that actually meant something. Probably one of the coolest things I ever got to do in Chicago is I got linked up with Jeff Tweedy a couple of years ago, and I went and worked with him at their amazing See the Loft up there.
Yeah.
And I remember writing a song with him. We never did anything with it, but watching the way he would compose lyrics was like, he would listen. I would sing stuff onto a guitar, like we'd record, right? Mm-hmm. And he would just listen to the, I would say no words, but he would be listening and he would, no, it says something. It says something. And then he would just listen to it 3 or 4 times, and suddenly he would just write this like amazingly, like, he's got the best lyrics that are like meaningful, but like sort of also kind of don't always make sense.
Yeah, but they make sense to him.
But I feel like lyrics are just something that, for me, the ones that really work are the ones that I I'm saying what I mean, but I also am not taking it too seriously.
Right.
You know?
OJ with the champagne tuna.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Is that one of the lyrics?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good morning.
Yeah, you wrote that. Right. Yeah. So, good morning. I mean, I'm the happiest in the morning. But without the answer being who set my alarm, what is the first thing that you think of in the morning?
First thing I think of in the morning? You know, I got to break out of this, but I think a lot of people my age especially could relate to just the first thing I do is I just pull my phone out and I open it up and I'm like reading texts, reading emails, looking at Instagram.
We all do the same thing, don't we?
I've got to stop that though. You know, I'm trying to wake up. I wish I could be like, well, I wake up and I eat a raw egg. I just eat the shell. I just crunch it up, eat it.
I
crank out about 500 pull-ups. And then I punch myself in the face and it doesn't even hurt.
Nobody does that.
I punch myself in the face with all my strength and it doesn't hurt. And then I just start the day.
Do you have any pets? Do you have a dog?
I don't, no.
Because you're always on tour. I have a dog, and the best thing that happened to me is I have to take Wrigley out in the morning, and now we walk around the neighborhood, so it gives me that quiet time in the morning, which is, I never have quiet time. And Jane and I have talked about this a million times, about meditation or collecting your thoughts in the morning, so that helps.
I think it's very, very important.
Which is why we shouldn't be reaching for a phone in the morning. I'm culprit, too. It's like right next to my bed.
Well,
I'm like, oh, I wonder what happened. But
right?
I think we're good. Let's all work on this. Can we just agree to it not be the first thing we do is pick up our phone?
It would be much wiser to just wake up and just drink mimosas. That should be the routine every day.
That's the answer I was looking for, Max. Thank you.
If you're a star like you, you can do that. We have to go to work in the morning. How do you explain your music to people? Is it a cross between hip-hop, rock, pop? Or
it's all those things. You know, I grew up in an age where, you know, Napster was leaking everything I ever wanted into my brain anytime I wanted it. You know, I never grew up in an age of genre really mattering. You know, I noticed a difference sometimes, but especially in Austin, Texas, where I grew up and learned to play all these instruments, no one seemed to really give any notion to the idea that genre mattered. People just played what they played. You know, Austin is especially a place where, you know, Chicago's really got a thing that the blues is the thing in Chicago. Austin's got a blues scene, but it's got a lot of scenes. You know, it's not, it's like Willie Nelson is a thing there. Country's a thing. It's in Texas.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's got blues, Steve Ray Vaughan statues, but there's really nothing that's like, this is the Austin sound. So it's like, I kind of was just raised in a way that I think reflects in my music that I just don't really have this like thing. I am like, this is what it's about. It has a lot of influences, you know.
People are so territorial about music. Yeah. When I bring you up, it's like, who's Max Frost? Why do I need to listen to this?
Yeah.
Well, music touches your soul. Last week, I saw Ben Rector at Chicago Theater.
Yeah.
Like, why are you going to see Ben Rector? Because he's a great singer-songwriter. Yeah. I enjoy his music. I also love The Stones, Springsteen. I'm going to see a local guy, Michael McDermott, on Friday at the Park West. He calls it Halloweenstein, where he just does Springsteen songs.
Wow.
But why are people so territorial about music?
I think I understand that a little bit. Like, you know, when someone's like, hey, have you seen that movie, Bling Bling Bling? And you like, you probably haven't seen it. And you just, there's some part of your brain that's like, there's a little guy in the brain who's going, no, we don't have space for this. We don't have space. Shut it down. Shut it down.
Right.
Send him out there. And they send out the manager of the brain space. And he goes, I'm sorry, we're just totally full right now. So we're going to have to give a BS answer. And so what you do is you go, oh yeah, I've seen it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then they go, so what's your favorite part? And you're like, I actually haven't seen it. No, but I don't want to hear about it.
Right.
I think it's
they
that same
beat you
part.
Down too.
Yeah. But I don't know with music, you know, I think music is weird. It's not as like, you know, if you paint or if you make movies, that's an art form that I feel like you can get away with it not being like, there's just something about a person, it's their voice, it's their words.
Mm-hmm.
There's something so direct to the person about it that if you don't totally align with that, there's almost a weird feeling of like, oh, I don't like you as a person because I don't like your music.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's weird.
Which is what's so scary about doing it, which is why my soul has eventually hardened to stone.
Perfect.
I'm with
you. But is it like music in general? So you grow up in Austin, I would assume every single person there grows up with a guitar in their hand and everyone could sing and play an instrument. It's not only are people judging you, but it's a hard business to get into.
Yeah, it really is.
I mean, to jump into and take that leap, there's just no guarantees.
There is not. There still are none. There are for anybody, you know? I mean, I feel like, you know, I was playing with 21 Pilots last night in an arena, and it's like they're at a stage now where it's like, yeah, I mean, they're probably going to have a career for a long time, but there have been bands that were more famous than that at a certain point that 5-10 years later didn't really have exactly the same career, even by a long shot in a way, you know, which no one knows. It's such a It's a fugazi, it's a fugazi, whatever. It's like this thing that you can't control of like what is going to happen with culture, what's going to happen with people's taste and how that relates to the commerce of music.
A show business, man. That's what happens. Yeah, one day you're on the radio, the next day you're not. Right, Jay?
Right, Pete. I hear you, Pete. That's kind of what I was asking. It's like, oh, I want to be on the radio. Oh, do you? Yeah, is that what you're going to do for your career? Good.
Yeah. Max Frost, when are you coming back to Chicago? I hate the fact that we had to have you in today. You played last night. But
so I canceled. I had a tour for my new album that just came out called Gold Rush. I had the Gold Rush tour. Leg one was going to begin around the United States. 21 Pilots called me up and said, hey, you want to come with us on tour? I was like, yeah.
So just crashed your whole tour. I had threw it in the trash can.
It was a very tough decision. It was it's something that I'm still on Instagram messages with a lot of fans. Like, I'm really sorry. I'll find a way to make this up to you. I'm going to reschedule my tour for very, very early next year. And I'll be back here. I'll either be at the Subterranean
or I'll be at
Lincoln Hall, somewhere like that.
I'm happy
with
this.
So I will be back. I would love to come pay you guys another visit.
Your new biggest fan is sitting right behind you.
She keeps telling me in my ear, you got to get him to play before a commercial.
Oh, wait.
Are you
going to
do a song off your new album?
Yeah, I'm going to do a song called Slow Jams off the new album.
Okay. Can you play a little so I can get your guitar? How does that sound? Is that okay?
Can you give me a little more? Because I'm going to play it pretty soft.
Okay. How's that?
All right. You guys ready?
Yeah.
Doesn't got a radio, it never plays the stuff she likes. And every time I take her to a show, I know she doesn't vibe it. It all will be fine when we get back for some slow motion. Cause anytime I'm moving fast, she's never satisfied. She only wanna listen to the slow jams, bro. Man's music. She's taking no requests cause it's all for her amusement. The floor is a cathedral, but no matter where she's at, she puts it on the map. She don't wanna dance, she only wanna listen to the slow jams, bro. Man's music. Hey, well, all her friends are fangirls, but she don't believe the hype. She says I kinda like the songs, but they not even right. It all will be fine when we get back for some slow motion. Cause anytime I'm moving fast, she's never satisfied. She only wanna listen to the slow jams, rope, man's music. She's taking no requests cause it's all for her amusement. The floor is a cathedral, but no matter where she's at, she puts it on the map. She don't wanna dance, she only wanna listen to the slow jams and rope, man's music. Yeah, yeah, well, slow tempo out that stereo. She need that soul when it goes down. No electro, no rock and roll. She move like nobody's around. She got her reasons, but I never ask. She's cruising through a world that's moving fast. She's gotta take her time when we get home. She's turning off the radio. She only wanna listen to the slow jam, the road, man's music. She's taking no requests cause it's all for her amusement. The floor is a cathedral, but no matter where she's at, she puts it on the map. She don't wanna dance, she only wanna listen to the slow jams, rope, man's music. Na 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 na.
Yeah!
Thank you.
Man.
Amazing.
I want everybody to remember this moment because this guy is going to be a huge star.
I'm the new biggest fan. Elif, you're out.
And the greatest thing is I made him give me his phone number.
I almost, so when you I almost big, cried.
You're going to keep coming back here to WGN.
I almost cried.
Oh, wow.
God, that's great
moving.
Stuff.
So thank great. You. I love this. She only wants to listen to the slow jams. Maybe
I'll take his phone number, too.
Okay.
Max Frost in studio. Quick break, and we'll do another song when we come
Absolutely,
back.
Absolutely, yeah.
It's 720 WGN. Max Frost is in studio. He's on tour with 21 Pilots, was at the United Center last night. His new album is called Gold Rush. And just for the record, that last song that you did, you had no pick, no reverb, nothing. It's just bare bones, you and a guitar.
Just thumbs and strings.
Thumbs and
literally
strings.
Thumbs and strings. But and we were just talking about this off air. I'm like, oh my God, you're my new favorite person on the whole planet. And then I said to Pete, he's playing acoustically. So when you're on stage, do you do acoustic or is it like a rock show? Because I read somewhere that you said I'm more of a science project than a rock show.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I guess it's kind of a crazy story because I started playing in bands, but I grew up making my records playing every instrument. You know, I started as a guitar player, but I play bass and I play drums. I play a little bit of keys. And for a while I was touring with a band and, it's kind of a long story, basically like doing tours where I was just running out of money. And I finally figured out a way to be like, wait, how can I just do what I do on my albums live? And I found a way to do it, which I call it the one man show. It's the one man musical spaceship or something like that, where I've got all these instruments on stage and I basically deliver like a full show. And it's sort of my one-liner about it is I found a way to make a loop show, a rock show, instead of a science project. It's right. Like this, you know, it's kind of like, it's crazy. It's kind of hard for me to explain. You have to see it. You have to see it to really right. understand it. But it's basically like I play everything to deliver the songs, but you're not like waiting for half a day for me to like get into one song.
So right. you're the one guy on stage and you've got drums, bass, keyboard, mm-hmm. everything you're
it's
playing.
Got all of it.
Yeah, because sometimes I'll start a song on the bass, play the keys, and then sing the song from the drums. Or sometimes I'll start the drums, play the bass, and then sing the song from the guitar or stuff like that.
It's unbelievable. I got to get you to do Good yeah. Morning before yes. 2 o'clock.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Okay. Yeah. We have 3 minutes.
Can we bang this out?
Let's
Max Frost is here.
1, 2, 1, 2. Hello. Good morning. How you doing? Waking up, shaking yesterday's blues. Yeah. I turn the TV off. It's bad news, man. I'm feeling fresh like a zipper, like new man. My OJ with a champagne tuna. My most Holy Ghost running through. Yeah. Hell yeah! It's the new hallelujah. Popping like the top of a bottle and ice, yeah. Baby, it's a brand new day. Well, ain't no clouds hanging over me. But something doesn't feel the same. The rest of my life gonna start the day. Now, good morning. Na 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 na. Good morning. Na 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 na. Good morning. Na 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 na. The rest of my life gonna start the day. I'm crawling out the ocean. This is evolution. Can I get it to another animal, the next level? I sprouted wings and I just wanna sing. Ooh, 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 yeah. In the future, now the past can't harm me. Forget about yesterday, Paul McCartney. I'm feeling like I'll be on stage and the whole wide world gonna know my name. Baby, it's a brand new day. Ain't no clouds hanging over me. Or something doesn't feel the same. The rest of my life gonna start the day. Now, good morning. Na 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 na, good morning. Na 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 na, good morning. Na 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 na, the rest of my life gonna start the day.
That is Max
yes.
Frost, everybody.
Thank
the
you.
Album is called Gold Rush. Thank you for coming in.
Thanks so much for having me.
It's great
Seriously,
to see you, man.
Appreciate
Thanks,
you guys.
And we'll I have your
again.
Phone number. We'll see you soon.
We'll text.
My name is J.B. Pritzker, and I'm running for governor of Illinois.
GN, Pete McMurray, Jane Monzuris in the Allstate Skyline Studios. Our next guest is running for governor of the state of Illinois. He was kind enough to stop by and see Jane and me. It's J.B. Pritzker. Thank you for coming in.
Welcome
hey, Pete,
to the
thank
studio.
Thank you, Jane. Thank you. Thanks for having me in here. I love the start-me-up music.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That? You're yeah. like, I'm going to use that for my campaign
we're,
now.
Actually, we're going to use it for the state of Illinois when we win.
You released your taxes this week. I'm playing the Mega Million so I can win the $900 million and just retire. You have enough money. Why do you want to do this?
Well, you know that I've spent my life, you know, trying to make people's lives better all across the state of Illinois. Worked hard to expand the school breakfast program, and for more than 20 years, a national leader in early childhood education. Created jobs by founding 1871, and in my own business, I think we can do so much more for the state of Illinois, and it's been headed in the wrong track for too long.
How many days left before the election?
Well, not that I'm counting, but it's 19 days and about 5 hours until the polls close.
And what does today look like for you? I know you're here with us right now, but are you out, you're out shaking hands? You got meetings? What are you doing?
Yep, speaking to crowds. I just came from a temple, a synagogue here in Chicago. There was a group of activists that were there. Every Sunday I've been to church. I'm fully blessed. having been at, I go to about 3, 4, 5
every
churches
church.
Every Sunday. Been to mosques. And then, sure. you know, day like today, frankly, traveling around, meeting with media, talking to you, and there are GOTV Get Out the Vote events now that we're in the last 19 days, because, you know, every single day now is Election Day.
Right.
It's
right.
not just November 6th, so right. you yeah. can go vote today, and actually October 22nd, which I think is Monday, all these voting sites open up. There's one now in Chicago, but there are going to be, dozens of them.
For the early voting.
Yeah. Early voting, mm-hmm. and people like to early vote now.
I early vote in every election.
Me too.
Love it.
Every single election I early vote. Well, I highly recommend it.
You can do it on your own schedule, right? I mean, right. you could choose the time to go.
Right.
Yeah, it's great.
And we all have our places that we stop by. I stop by a library in Wicker Park, right on the corner of Wabanzia and Milwaukee.
I go to the library in Chinatown.
That's where awesome. You know, my family, when we emigrated, my family emigrated to Chicago from Ukraine, it was refugees, but they ended up in Wicker Park.
Mm.
And so that's...
The Ukrainian village?
The Ukrainian village.
You're
exactly,
kidding.
Exactly.
They named
really?
It.
Yeah.
They came over and said, well, this will be Ukrainian village.
Because there's because Nicholas Pritzker. No, I'm kidding. but that tends to happen. You know, an immigrant family will move sure. to where the, you know, where people of their sure. same origin are from.
We came over from Greece and went straight to Greektown.
Yeah.
We're at Halsted Street still.
Yeah.
My great-grandparents came over from Lebanon and went straight to Peoria. I'm not quite sure, but yes.
Well, I'll tell you, actually, one other thing about this. When my family were refugees and emigrated, they actually were sponsored by a family in Clinton, Iowa. So they got a train ticket from New York to... They had nothing. They arrived in Clinton, Iowa. It's a farm town, basically, then, and there's nothing else.
Right.
And they arrived, and there were no jobs there. And so they said, well, where do we get a job? Well, there aren't any.
Ugh.
Well, where do we go to get a job? Where's the nearest big city? Chicago.
Wow.
So they took whatever pennies that they had, put them together to get train tickets to Chicago, and ended up sleeping in the basement of Chicago train station. And eventually it was a social service agency that gave them a place to live.
I love stories like that because my great-grandparents came over here, and my great-grandfather, Mike, had to come over early, and there was no phones back in the day, so they had a meeting point in Peoria at some relatives 3 months later.
Although back then,
that's
I
the
think
American
meeting
dream.
In Peoria, you could find each other.
Right. There was only five people there. Yes. They were all your family.
That's how it works. J.B. Pritzker in studio with us. When you're running for elected office, you have a bullseye on your back. There was a lawsuit this week. Do you want to address it?
Sure. What would you like to know?
Well, 10 of your Black and Latino staffers filed a civil lawsuit against your campaign on Tuesday, alleging repeated racial discrimination and harassment.
Yeah, the claims are just false. I'm very proud of the campaign that we put together. We've got an incredibly diverse staff. You know, our senior staff, a majority African-American. Overall, our staff, 45% people of color. Juliana and I have been made a centerpiece of our campaign, equality and inclusion diversity in our campaign. And we're going to have the most diverse cabinet and diverse administration that's ever been in the state of Illinois. So I'm proud of that, and I'm looking forward to making sure we implement.
How did you pick Juliana Stratton as your running mate?
First of all, if you know anything about state government, you know that there are a few people that are truly special. They get elected, and you can tell right away they know what they're doing. They get a lot done. Juliana was that person, and she beat somebody in 2016 that was backed by Bruce Rauner, a Democrat, backed by Bruce Rauner, who had sided with Bruce Rauner against child care assistance, against home care assistance for seniors. And so Juliana was very upset about that and was looking around, well, who should run? Maybe we could find somebody to run. And then eventually she decided to run, and she beat that guy by 30%, the Rauner-backed candidate. So that's one thing. I mean, just impressive how hard she worked. And then the other is she's passed like 9 bills in her first term in office. That rarely happens. She's really a doer. She's very impressive. And frankly, I'm lucky to have her as a partner in this race.
That's great. And so over the last couple of weeks, friends of mine, friends of friends, because in conversation, they're like, oh, I'm moving to Georgia, I'm moving to Indiana. And I'm like, oh, okay. And it's not the same group of friends. It's people that live in different communities in the suburbs. Why? Because I got to get out of Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, really? So what do you say to those people who are literally packing their trucks and they're like, I'm getting out?
hold on, help's coming. That's what I would say to him. January 2019, we'll have a new governor. Look, there are things that have been driving people out of the state, and Bruce Rauner's done nothing about those things and in fact, made it worse. Let's talk about two of them. One of them is property taxes are too high in this state, and that's why I put forward a real plan for changing the tax system for we can lower local property taxes, which even if you're a renter of an apartment, you're going to have lower rent. If you own a home, you're going to have lower property taxes. And that really has driven a lot of people out of the state, the high property taxes. So,
right.
So having a real plan for that, that's something that's been a central focus of my campaign. The second is 72,000 young people chose not to go to school in the state of Illinois, to universities or colleges in the state under Bruce Rauner. And the reason is because when you don't have a budget for 2 years and people don't know whether they're going to get their scholarship grants from the state,
right,
and you don't know whether the faculty that you wanted to study with and the program that you wanted to graduate with was mm-hmm. still going to be there, then guess what? You're likely to leave the state. And so 70% of the kids who leave the state to go to school don't come back. And think about what that does, not just to the economy of the state, where, you know, your best minds are leaving the state, your future economic resources are leaving the state, but also our kids are leaving the state.
Right.
We have some great universities and colleges in Illinois. And we should be investing in those. Bruce Rauner's cut them by 20%. He put forward a proposal to cut higher education by 30% across the state. That's not how you build an economy.
Can you fix the weather?
As a matter of fact, in January of 2019, I can promise you that it'll be 73 degrees.
Yeah. Sunny every day.
How do you respond to critics that say you're going to be Mike Madigan's pawn? Because Mike Madigan can pass anything in Springfield. And Bruce Rauner has said that about you. How do you react to that?
Well, I think Bruce Rauner is the one whose entire term apparently has been defined by Mike Madigan. Because he just, anything that Mike Madigan does is like, Bruce Rauner is, he's stymied. He just doesn't know what to do. He says he's not in charge. The truth is you want a governor who's going to be independent. You want somebody who's spent his life helping people across the state, working families like I have, and who doesn't come out of a political organization. So I show up as an independent Democrat with a set of beliefs that I've run on. There's nobody, I didn't get funded by Mike Madigan. I didn't get funded by special interests. I'm doing this because I really believe that we need to turn the ship of state of the state of Illinois, you know, like an aircraft carrier. We've got to turn it in the right direction. It's in the wrong direction under Bruce Rauner. And then we got to propel it in the right direction. That means creating jobs and raising wages, lowering the cost of health care, and lowering the cost of higher education.
Right.
If we can do all those things and preserve people's rights, like reproductive rights, like LGBTQ rights, I mean, those are the things that we need to do to make this state, you know, the best state, and it is the best state, but to make it the kind of state that it ought to be for everybody.
How do we do that without taxing people through the roof? How do we do that? Where does that money come from?
Well, but remember, it doesn't, you know, balancing a budget takes three things. You need revenue for sure, right? And we have revenue coming into the state. And if you grow the economy, you can have more revenue. You don't need to raise taxes. You just get more revenue if there are more people paying taxes, more people, more jobs, more companies here. That's a second thing to consider. And of course, we've got to make government more efficient. And I put forward plans and proposals for doing just that. You know, as I say, for more than 20 years, I've been a national leader in early childhood education. Let me tell you what that does from a fiscal perspective. Saves us money in our education system. And it adds to our economic growth potential. Why? Because it's been proven, this isn't just a theory, that if you invest in early childhood education, guess what? Those kids are much more likely to graduate from high school, graduate from college, get jobs, and much less likely to end up incarcerated.
Yep.
One side benefit is it turns out their health is much better, too, when you invest early in their education. So these are all things that we can do that will lower the cost of government for taxpayers, which will bring efficiency to the state.
J.B. Pritzker in studio with us. Jay?
Are we breaking? We're going.
You can go ahead.
Okay, thanks. So nationally, I feel like all the parties hate each other, right? So there's some trouble going on every side of each party. Let's say you win, right? So you're in January of 2019, you're the governor. How do you cross those lines and make everyone shake hands and be happy? Or is that even a possibility ever?
Well, you need somebody who has a history of reaching across party lines and working with people to get big things done. And you know, I talked about some of the things that I've done over the course of my life. These are not, you know, J.B. Pritzker as a check for something. This is J.B. Pritzker organized and implemented a plan working with people, sometimes with people that you didn't get along with, sometimes with people that I didn't particularly love. But, you know, people who knew how to get things done with me and whose opinions and capability were important to bring along. Let me give you an example. 1871, it was a hard thing to put together. It's the best incubator in the entire world now.
Sure.
I founded it, but I didn't do it alone. I'd like to make sure you know that we brought together the universities, leaders at universities. We brought together startup leaders. We brought together the big companies to help sponsor things, mentors. All those things had to be brought together to make 1871 work. And that takes real shoulder to the wheel. Leadership, vision, bring people together, make sure their ideas are incorporated, and then get the job done. Same thing at the Illinois Holocaust Museum and Education Center, which I led the creation of. You know, if you've ever worked with Holocaust survivors before, they're hard-headed, thoughtful people who, you know, they're by virtue of their life experience, they have strong opinions about things. And but you bring people together and work together with people to have a common mission, and then you get, that's how you get the job done. So in Springfield, one more thing. I ran the Illinois Human Rights Commission, which is a bipartisan commission, Republicans and Democrats. And we turned it around together, Republicans and Democrats. And several of those Republicans that were on that commission are supporting me now for governor because they saw the way that I work across the aisle. We can do that in Springfield. You need somebody who's going to talk to Republicans, listen to Republicans. That's just important.
This country and this state is so divided.
It is.
I just don't understand. Just talk to each other. Why is that so hard?
I agree, and I think that Governor Rauner's demonstrated he won't and is unwilling to sit down with people and get things done. I mean, nothing's gotten done in Springfield for 4 years.
I want to talk about jobs again. I grew up in Peoria. Half my family still lives there. I worked in Rockford for years. I feel like the small cities, like especially Rockford, people can't move out of that city fast enough. How do we bring jobs to cities like Rockford or Peoria? I know Kat's down in Peoria, but, you know, these smaller cities in the state.
Well, I put forward a plan. You can find it on my website at jbpritzker.com that's focused on job creation all across the state. And I've spent more time, I think, than most any candidate that's run for statewide office in the 96 counties outside of Cook and the Collar counties. So I've spent plenty of time in Rockford and Peoria, and I've listened to people there. And here's what I hear. First of all, job creation is critically important. There are a lot of issues that are very important. But when you get outside the collar counties, you hear jobs, right, and wages, right? Yeah. People's standards of living have dropped across the state because wages haven't risen, but the cost of everything else has. So what are you going to do in Rockford? Well, number one, we've got to address the gun violence problem in Rockford.
That's
It's got a higher incidence of gun violence per capita than Chicago does.
Jane, it's the worst. Seriously, the violence in Rockford's off the charts.
It's a real challenge. And then we've got to make sure that we're investing in, for example, building up that airport at Rockford. Rockford's got a very important airport that can be even more important. And I think investing in the growth of that airport. And then, and this is really important, all across the state, we need to help people start small businesses, because it's 2/3 of all the jobs in the state get created by small businesses and startup businesses, and nobody's helping them. It's really hard to start a business, but the state can help them. And I put forward a plan for a state small business loan fund to make sure that we've got technical assistance and mentorship. And if you let 1,000 flowers bloom across the state of Illinois, those small businesses become big businesses and employ a lot of people.
One of the things that happened, go ahead, Jen.
Well, we have a text message. We're getting a couple texts, so might as well ask some of their questions. Beatrice wants to know, have you ever thought about funding schools other than from property taxes?
Exactly. I'm glad that Beatrice, did you say?
Mm-hmm.
Great question. So, you know, that is why our property taxes are so high in the state of Illinois, because we actually have the lowest amount of state funding for education, second lowest, sorry, 49th out of 50 states. Mm-hmm. And we need to switch that up. Half the money in the average state, half the money for schools comes from property taxes and half from state income taxes or state taxes. But in Illinois, it's about 24% from the state and the vast majority of the rest of it from local property taxes. If we shift the burden to the state, we can lower local property taxes, and that will create jobs, and it will improve people's lives, particularly in the middle class, who are so burdened by property taxes, mm-hmm. even more so than anybody else.
J.B. Pritzker in studio with us for a few more minutes, running for governor. We're not quite sure why you want the job of the state of Illinois.
Well, I couldn't make it as a radio announcer.
Right. You got a pretty good voice.
Yeah.
You really do. Toiletgate, you paid back the money, $332,000. How would you have done that differently?
Well, look, this, first of all, this was an internal memo that was leaked for political purposes. I think you saw the article about, you know, who leaked it and their relationship with Rauner. The fact is that, you know, we did a renovation. There was a renovation project on this house. And it halted at some point because it was unclear whether the home would be sold or put up for rent. And ultimately, it was restarted, the project, and all the taxes that were assessed on it were paid. And so, you know, look, this is an effort, I think, to distract from the real issues in the race, and also from Governor Rauner's own record of taking 22 property tax reassessments and illegally taking 3 homestead exemptions. And then he made a proposal this year to raise property taxes all across the state of Illinois, $1 billion cut in expenditures at the state level, pushing it down to the local level so property tax would rise. It doesn't make any sense to me. That's one of the biggest scourges on the state is property taxes.
I want to talk about mental health real quick. You have a family story about that. And of course, the state, we need to address it more in the state of Illinois. Can you tell your family story about that?
Yeah, I mean, let's start with the relationship between substance abuse and mental health, because it's a critically important thing for us to understand. Behavioral health is something that has been defunded in the state under Bruce Rauner. We need to do much, much more. Mental health facilities have closed as a result of Bruce Rauner's intransigence and unwillingness to compromise. Substance abuse treatment centers have closed. My own mother was an alcoholic, and she struggled mightily with this. She sought help. She did. She went to Alcoholics Anonymous. She checked herself into clinics, and she struggled, and I watched her and tried to help her along the way. I was little, she became an alcoholic, at least as far as I understand it, when I was 7 years old, when she was 32 years old. And for the rest of her life, for the next 10 years, she just was on and off the wagon and struggled with this mightily. And this was at a time when people, and this still happens today, when people just didn't understand this is a disease.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that you have to treat the disease, and it's very difficult. Some people say, well, you know, you're drinking too much, you're undisciplined. That's not what alcoholism, that's not what substance abuse is. And it's a mental health issue too. And so people are often self-medicating. That's often what the relationship is between substance abuse and mental health. They end up in a substance abuse problem because they had a mental health problem that nobody treated. And we've got to start treating mental health like it, what it is, which is it's part of physical health. It's brain health.
Right.
And it's not just some subset or sideline. This is critically important. We need to make sure that people get the same kind of exams for mental health that they do for physical health, and that it's treated, and that we no longer treat it like a stigma, you know, that we don't talk about.
Right.
Let's be upfront about it.
While we're on the subject of health, because I'm always concerned that people are living a healthy life, this running for governor is a very ambitious schedule. This campaign, you've got 19 days left. How are you staying healthy? Are you sleeping? Are you eating? Are you exercising?
Just for the record, she hosts Living Healthy Chicago, which airs Saturdays at 9 a.m.
Oh, my gosh.
WGN. So I need to know this.
I'm sorry to say I haven't listened. Now I'm going to start listening because I could really
miss you. It's on TV.
Look, how do I say it? Well, look, it's certainly the campaign trail can be somewhat grueling. Everybody that knows me knows that I work really hard anyway, whether I was running for governor or anything else that I do. My wife laughs at me. You know, people ask me, what do you do when you're not working? I say, what do you like to do when you're not working? I say, work.
Right.
So I'm going to continue to work hard. And of course, taking care of myself is important. My father passed away when I was 7, when he was 39 years old, of a heart attack. Gosh. And he had very high triglycerides and very high cholesterol. And so I monitor that very often. I mean, I go in and get checked out.
Look at Jane shaking her head. It's
I'm all about the cholesterol monitoring.
It's very important.
Yes.
And triglycerides too. I mean, that's another thing to focus on. And now, of course, there are other markers of challenges. But I monitor that constantly because I have a history of it.
So do I.
And make sure that it's not an issue. And, you know, I am I'm overweight for sure, and everybody knows that about me. But you know, I think a lot of people struggle with their weight. The critical thing is that, you know, if you can always be working on that and try to be as healthy as possible, eat, you know, right as often as possible, and make sure you monitor those levels, I think, you know, you can live a decent, healthy life.
Okay.
A few more things before you go. Legalization of pot. Is that going to happen under your watch?
Are you looking for it right now? You look like you're people reaching across the studio asking me if I have some. I mean, come on.
Pot.
Yeah, we are going to legalize marijuana and legalize recreation. Marijuana in the state. We need to make sure we've got a strong regulatory system in place, and like they have in Washington State, where they've managed to put in place the right laws to make sure that we're not increasing teen use, because that's very important to me.
Right.
And making sure that whatever we do here is you know, safe. And criminal justice reform is a critically important end focus of this. But we can also bring $700 million of revenue to the state. That's been an estimate. I think
property values will go up
even more.
Right.
And we can create jobs.
Right.
Dispensaries,
anything
production
to help
facilities.
The state, I'm all for.
Yeah.
And that seems like an easy get.
And frankly, it's right now it's illegal and it's unsafe, but everybody knows, you know, where to get it, or at least, you know, it's readily available, and they don't know where it came from, and nobody's regulating it in any way.
Right.
We should regulate it. We should tax it. We should make sure we bring criminal justice reform to the fore here. And it's the right thing to do.
What do we do with the pension crisis? I mean, it's going to blow up in your face. What's going to happen here?
Well, so everybody talks about the $130 billion liability built up in the pension system. Let's start with the fact that that's not due today. It's a due over time. And that's the first thing to recognize. The second thing is that we owe an obligation to people who took a job as a teacher. Let's say they aren't being overpaid. They got offered a salary. They got offered a benefits to go with it. That was the deal. They shook hands on it, and they, in fact, probably took a salary that was lower than you might otherwise get in another profession, but because they were going to get a pension. And now Governor Rauner wants to bankrupt the state in order to take away people's pensions. He went to the federal government and asked, could he get a law passed in Washington, part of that Trump tax cut law, where we could bankrupt the pensions in the state of Illinois? That's not right. It's not fair. We need to live up to the obligations that we have to our teachers, to our nurses, to state workers. And we can do it. We can do it. There's already a tier two system that's bent the cost curve in pensions.
We just chip away at it over the years?
There are proposals and plans that have been put forward. There's one that would raise up the amount that you put into the pension system a little bit earlier, and then make sure that the payments into the system are flattened out going forward so that we can manage the budget. As the economy of the state of Illinois grows, if you can keep that pension payment into the system flat, it'll become less and less a percentage of our budget.
So 19 days left. Here's your chance. What do you want to say to the people that are listening right now?
Well, I think first I want to say thanks to everybody who's involved in the campaign. So many people across the state that are volunteering, phone banking, and so on. Second is, look, this has been a campaign about the kitchen table issues, about making people's lives better across the state, about lifting up people's standards of living. So raising wages means creating jobs. And that's something that I've done, and Governor Rauner really hasn't. He likes to say he's a jobs guy, but he created fewer jobs in the same amount of time than his predecessor did. And he called him a miserable failure of job creation. So you want somebody who's actually done it. I've created thousands and thousands of jobs, both in my own business and also at 1871. We need to expand the health care across the state. I think we need universal health care, but we can start with something that doesn't cost any money. It's called a public option. Make it cheaper for families, for working families, by a couple thousand dollars, putting that back on the table. And then the other thing we can do is lower the cost of higher education so you can send your kid to college.
Right.
Put thousands of dollars back on the table. That will raise the standards of living, raise wages. That does it even more. That's what you want. And I hope you'll vote for me for governor.
Thank you for
coming in.
We appreciate it. I know you're busy and you made time to come on the radio with us.
I really appreciate both of you, Pete and Jane. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Jamie.
J.B. Pritzker, it's 720 WGN. Pete McMurray, Jane Monsouris in the Allstate Skyline Studios.
Hi, Pete.
2 weeks from yesterday is Halloween. My wife made a mistake over the weekend of buying Halloween candy.
Uh-oh.
And I've said this once, I've said it a million times on the radio, the greatest candy bar ever made is the Almond Joy, because you have chocolate, you have almonds, and you have the very underrated coconut.
I do like a good coconut.
Gross.
All mixed.
Almond Joy is like, no, it's so 1976.
I love Almond Joys.
The Almond Joy is the greatest candy bar ever made.
What's your favorite candy?
Drop the mic.
Kit Kat?
Ooh, that's
Kit Kat's good.
American candy, though.
But that's I don't like the mini Kit Kats. Candy. It's not the same.
You're right. You're
Everything's
right,
mini nowadays. Where can you buy a big Kit Kat bar? At the checkout?
Yes.
Yeah.
They're huge. I love a good Snickers bar, and do not.
Too much work?
No. A Snickers bar?
Too much work.
It has everything you ever need.
It gets caught in your teeth. You got to floss.
I might eat one after the show.
The Midnight Milky Way is pretty good, too.
Sounds like the Violetta just likes candy.
What is the Midnight Milky Way?
That's the darker wrappered ones. Like, it's a Milky Way, but with dark chocolate and something else in there.
That's
different.
Too fancy. I like to go back to the ones from when you're kids and you're trick-or-treating, and you get the Almond Joy.
Yeah.
Or a Snickers.
But if you liked the Almond Joy as a kid, it was perfect because nobody wanted them. So I'm like, take whatever you want.
I agree.
I'll take the Almond Joys. And they're like, just have it. I don't even want to switch with you.
Number one candy of 2018. What do you think it is?
Snickers bar.
Nope. Snickers is, I think, number...
Skittles
is number one.
What? I was right?
Skittles is number one this
year.
That
gets stuck in your teeth.
That was a guess.
Skittles.
And it was like a far-flung guess because I thought that was never going to be number one.
Number two?
M&M's. Oh, M&M's.
Lifesavers. Well, nobody M&M's do they
are
make
everywhere.
Those anymore?
I think so, yeah.
M&M's, Skittles, and M&M's. Number three, the Snickers. Snickers, way too much work. It's caught in your teeth. I don't like anything with caramel. I just don't. No. Number four, Reese's peanut butter cups.
Mm. People love peanut butter and peanut butter cups.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people are obsessed with peanut butter.
And number five, what do you think?
Almond Joy.
No, I don't think so.
Almond Joy is not even in the top 25, believe it
Twizzlers.
Or not.
Twizzlers.
No one even knows what an Almond Joy
Starburst.
Is.
Starburst. That's what it is.
Starburst.
Yeah. I used to love those, and now I think they're too sugary.
Wait, which one's the Starburst again?
Starburst. It's got the flavors, the squares.
Oh. The strawberry's the best.
Strawberry is the best. You don't like Starburst?
What exactly are you eating when that melts in your mouth and becomes all gummy and
sugar,
then it dissolves?
Exactly. Sugar. Thank you, Jane. Yeah. Thank you.
You're eating the gooey stuff. It's just
and sometimes you get a little wrapper in there
gooey.
Too.
Yes.
Yeah. That's not good.
I used to like to unwrap the whole thing, but
all the Starbursts at once?
No, like. Never mind, actually. I don't know why I said that out loud.
Don't you hate that
waiting.
When you have a thought and it's a bubble over your head and suddenly comes out of your mouth? Yes. But the Almond Joy, I've had probably 25 this week, and I never eat candy. Ever.
What is the round thing with the peppermint and the dark chocolate?
A peppermint patty?
Yeah, peppermint patty.
A York peppermint patty.
York peppermint
yes.
patty.
Not bad.
Gross.
Those are gross.
Yeah, I don't like it
How
either.
About the Whopper? The Whoppers?
No, thank you.
What is wrong with you people?
Milk.
The malted milk ball Whopper.
Okay, I'm
in the milk containers?
A cavity is going to fall out every time I eat any of the heart.
Stop it.
Like, I'm worried something's going to crack.
It crumbles. It's okay.
I used to live in England. That's where I grew up for like 8 years. And there was a thing called Maltesers, which look like Whoppers, but they're way better. Way better.
But they're like malt balls, right?
Yeah.
Malted milk balls,
nougat.
Or what do they call them?
I
love the Whopper.
Like it.
It's great.
There's too much chocolate to the wafer for me.
Wow, you're an expert at candy.
I'm just, yes. I just remember these things.
Mike, you're on WGN. Hi. Mike.
Hey.
Go ahead,
what about the frozen Snickers bar?
The frozen Snickers bar is my favorite.
The Snickers bar at room temperature is too much work. Forget about the frozen one.
But there's also an ice cream version, you know, so you don't have to freeze it yourself.
Or you can take the Snickers and put it in your ice cream.
Right. Well, is it the ice cream frozen one? Is it ice cream or is it a candy bar?
Both. So Mike's talking about if you take a big Snickers bar and you put it in the freezer and eat it that way.
I'm getting a candy headache right now.
A really great idea for all your leftover candy or the pre-candy is take all the M&M's, the Snickers, Almond Joys, put them in cookie dough and then make a brownie out of it. That is delicious.
But first, eat a wee brownie and you're really going to enjoy that.
You guys are nuts. I have a candy headache right now. We have a $50 gift certificate to give away to White Pines Resort, located just 90 minutes west of Chicago in the White Pines Forest State Park in Oregon, Illinois.
And you can enjoy delicious home-style cuisine and generous portions of the resort's restaurant. Wow, live entertainment in the dinner theater, singers, comedians, musicians. Wow.
312-981-7200. Let's do caller number 70. $50 dinner gift certificate to White Pines Resort in Oregon, Illinois. Have you ever been to Oregon up there?
Nope, but I'm excited about White Pines.
You need to go.
All you need to do is say theater, singers, dancers. I'm in.
Yeah, that's all you care about. That's
I love
nice.
It. Entertain me. Here I am now. Entertain me.
Why are you so dressed up? Did you do TV today?
Oh, you know what? I host a TV show called Living Healthy Chicago.
Really?
And we had a shoot this morning.
When does that air?
That airs Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. right after the news. It's a new time slot for us. So people that used to watch us on Sundays are like, where did they go? Well, we didn't go anywhere. Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. And you know what? This week, let me tell you what we have coming on.
All right.
A healthy recipe. Kimchi guacamole. You think, ew, that's going to be bad. It's delicious.
Wait a second. Kimchi guacamole. I don't know what that means.
So you put kimchi in the guacamole.
I don't know what kimchi is. Mm-hmm. I thought it was a person that was making the guacamole.
No, kimchi guacamole. Watch the show, Pete. And then listen to this. We talked
to kimchi is not a person?
No. It's a thing that you eat.
It's a flavor.
What? Okay.
We talked to a woman who ran the rock and roll marathon when she was on chemo.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Amazing stories. We do all sorts of great, amazing stories, inspiration stories like that. We also do healthy recipes. We do exercise, nutrition.
So let me get this straight. You're doing Living Healthy Chicago now, Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. on WGN-TV.
Yes.
And
mm-hmm.
you're a guest correspondent on House Smarts with Lou this week.
Right. And that's,
I've known Lou longer. I introduced you to Lou.
But Lou, really?
I listen to Lou every Saturday. I wake up early. I go into the gym. I listen to Lou the entire time. Listen to John on my way home.
You want
to
know why you're not doing things on House Smarts? Because you text him all the questions. So he goes, Pete doesn't know how to do anything House Smart.
I'm not kidding. I text Lou probably 5 times during the week.
This is why.
Week. Yes.
Yeah.
But maybe he can show me. I'll be that guy. Lou, I don't know how to do this.
That's a different TV show.
I called him this week because I have a drain in my house that smells terrible. And he sent me a video. He goes, it's a very common problem. You go to Home Depot, you get a little brush.
Yeah, he knows everything.
Or you go to Ace, I'm sorry, and you get a little brush and you put some Pine Sol on it and you just scrub your drain.
Did you do it?
Not yet.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to get there. It's on my list.
honey-do list.
Ask my wife.
Yeah.
It's on the list.
Have Sarah do it.
George, congratulations, bud. George, are people having a tough time hearing me on the phone? George, you there, bud? All right. Good job, George. Nice work. Tell George he's a big winner. $50 dinner certificate to White Pines Resort, just 90 minutes west of Chicago. All right. Let's take a break, and we'll talk to Ro and Anna coming up next. Yeah. It's 720 WGN. Coming up on the show tomorrow, we're going to have kimchi on. Is that right?
Kimchi is coming on. I'm going to bring kimchi in so you can taste it.
I am sorry I didn't know what kimchi was.
I'm going to bring kimchi guacamole in for you.
I don't know what it's a spice, so, apparently.
Oh, my God.
I'm a hillbilly from Peoria, guys.
I had no idea what depth of hillbilly you actually were.
Yes.
I thought that once you moved to Chicago, Pete,
and
you've been in the Chicago media scene and business scene for decades, I figure at some point, some of this town would have rubbed off on you.
No.
Because the kimchi, you know, the Asian food is very popular now.
See?
I eat it. I just don't know what the spices are.
Okay. All right.
I can
it's
order
like a cabbage.
Yeah, it's like a cabbage.
It's like a pickled spicy cabbage. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you can see why if you mixed it with avocados, it would make a great guacamole.
Yeah. Janie, I bet you make that from scratch, right? The
she does it while she's standing on one finger.
And crocheting
like
a blanket.
Yeah.
This is true. While I'm on the air most of the time.
And crocheting a blanket with her toes while she's
quite possibly
actually standing on one finger. I see this on that CLTV show that comes on right after us.
She can do everything.
Yeah. This Jane Montour is first of all, she's on CLTV more than
anybody,
than any human being has ever been. She set a record for a number of appearances, and she's always talking to like a medical professional that I know.
Really?
As it turns out,
well, you know most of them, right?
Yes, and I know them either through my own hypochondria or my mother's hypochondria.
Well, you're calling them.
I have
furiously.
I've either taken my mother to them or I've seen them myself.
And you're like, oh, Jane knows that person too, but they're doing
so
it
funny.
On TV.
I actually had one doctor tell me about you. That is honest to God true.
So that they said next time you see Jane, just ask her, don't come see us.
Yes, that's right. It was exactly like, oh, you know Jane Montour? So I go, yeah. And they go, well, you know, let me tell you something. And I'm like, wait, is this a HIPAA thing?
Oh my God. Very good.
I'll bring you up next time I see these people.
All right, Pete. Okay, Jane. Okay, Kim. Nice to meet you. We'll see you. We look forward
to
that tomorrow.
Show.
Thank you, Pete.
Thanks, Pete.